Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on where you are in the world and what time it is when you're tuning in. This is Perrin Desports, and I'm your host for the Group Practice Accelerator podcast from Polaris Healthcare Partners. If you're an entrepreneurial dentist or physician, and you're interested in building a successful group practice, you found your primary resource for some of the industry's best business education. My partner, DeWalker Sinha, and I have decades of experience helping people just like you launch, scale, and ultimately exit successful group practices. In short, we create clarity, confidence, and results. Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of the Group Practice Accelerator podcast, season 4. I believe this is episode 9 as I'm recording it. If not, it'll just be in your feed anyway. And it is going to be about associates. We talk a lot about associates on this podcast because we get a lot of questions from many of you in the audience. I was in the field last week working with a client and speaking at a conference. We spent a lot of time around associates, and I've got an interesting take on what makes associates successful. Is it you or is it them? Let's dig into it. You know, it'll be a note-taking episode, so get your pad and pen ready and brew another wonderful cup of that meal of coffee. The Group Practice Accelerator podcast is on the air. Well, welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of the Group Practice Accelerator podcast. I am your host, Perrin Desports. Thank you for a couple of minutes today. And this is kind of an interesting topic that I did not have on the show schedule to record. But when I get out in the field, whether it be working with clients or speaking at conferences, I end up getting a lot of rapid fire questions. And sometimes, you know, candidly, they're all over the board about any particular topic that's top of mind to someone. But I was in Florida last week, and Mark Flock and I were working with one of our clients in South Florida who has a mega practice under one roof, a phenomenal business with, candidly, a tremendous amount of upside, really pretty cool to see. And we got to talking a good bit about associates. And then a couple of days later, Mark and I were speaking at the CareStack Inner Circle Conference in Orlando last week. And I gave a presentation on recruiting and retaining associates. Mark did a crack-up job on a banking panel. So it was really cool, the feedback we got from the audience. But, you know, the topic of associates and, you know, it kind of pervades everything we do, because it goes without saying that if you're going to build a multi-location group, doesn't matter if it's 3 locations or 300 locations, it's going to be kind of through default an associate-driven type of a business. It's no longer dependent upon you exclusively. You got to get the organic lift out of the productivity of the associates. And that usually starts with the ones that you bring on board, and obviously retaining the good ones, the great ones, for a very, very long time. I got a lot of questions around this. And actually, we've talked a little bit about it in our Catalyst project course that's ongoing right now. I've got 16 men and women in that with me. And even though the topic of the week might not be associates specifically, inevitably I get some questions from the Catalyst attendees around the subject of associates. We've got a segment in Catalyst about associates and recruiting them that'll be coming up, I believe, next week, as a matter of fact. So a lot of this was kind of, you know, a familiar refrain from the field, if you will. And so I decided to take a step back and think about it a little bit more based on the subject matter and the nature of the questions I was being asked. And I also thought about it in the context of the Super Bowl, which was about a week ago as I'm recording this. And many of you are football fans, and judging from the Taylor Swift impact, probably all of you watched the game, whether you wanted to see the football game or you wanted to see her, or whatever your rhyme or reason was. But it was the highest rated telecast in history. So let's think a little bit about associates in a different way than what you probably normally do. And I want to kind of preface this by saying, when you are thinking about recruiting an associate, are you recruiting based on need, or is that like a constant focus for you? I've talked about this multiple times on the podcast. I'm going to go in a different direction, though, from what I've normally said. I obviously believe that for those of you building growing group practices, you should constantly be recruiting. You should never take your foot off the gas. But when you are recruiting, and especially if you're recruiting based on need, at your gut level, do you feel like you're playing offense or defense? Is it a high point of anxiety or a point of excitement around bringing somebody new into the organization? Most of us are predisposed to recruit based on need because we have an opening. We feel like we're playing defense. Oh gosh, if I can just get somebody to fill the gap, I'll plug the hole and I'll live to fight another day. That's a really kind of a bad way to start the endeavor and something you want to get off of pretty quickly. So if hope and prayer is your MO, we might want to change that. The same thought process would be true for your existing associates. Most of you have a handful of associates working with you, and judging from some of your feedback, a number of you, most of you out there, have some that are quite good, that you are happy with. They seem to be happy with you. You want to keep them for the long haul, whether they're an owner in the business or not. But maintaining that continuity is good for patient care. It's good for cash flow, and it's good for your sanity. So we want to make sure they're happy and that they're going to stay for a long haul. The thought process that pervades both of these, whether it be recruiting or retaining, is a little bit one and the same. Do you know where you stand? Not with them, but do you know where you stand relative to other like-size practices or even groups in your area and nationally? I would bet that most of you don't. I would also bet that it's not something you've ever really thought about before. You are focused on building your business to the best of your ability and certainly making your associates successful, but the only thing you know is also typically the only thing they know, which is your business. And that lack of a frame of reference can be holding you back. It can be a competitive disadvantage. And it also might even lead to associates making bad decisions that aren't in their family's best financial interest for what's seemingly a short-term gain. And here's really what I'm talking about. If we go back to the football analogy or the Super Bowl game that I referenced, I thought it was a great game. Some people thought it was a little bit lackluster up until the end. None of that was standing. You had two great organizations, San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Two great organizations from top down, ownership, general manager, head coach and coaching staff, quarterback, key members of the team. Like these are probably two of the model organizations in the NFL. Okay. And for those of us who kind of look at the NFL from a little bit of a business lens, you know what I'm talking about. Most everybody looks at the NFL from a fan's lens. But when you really start thinking about the organizations themselves, Kansas City and San Francisco are cornerstone franchises in the NFL. And they have been for a long time. And they certainly are that way right now. So let's think about those organizations from still along the football lens of what they do. And by that, I mean, both of them have arguably exemplary head coaches and coaching staffs who have track records of success in prior organizations and in their current organizations. Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame football coach, massively successful with the Philadelphia Eagles as a head coach there. And obviously they've won, I think, three Super Bowls in the last 4 or 5 years or something now at Kansas City. I mean, his palmarès is arguably in the top echelon of coaches to ever coach the game. Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of San Francisco, is an extremely good head coach and from an offensive perspective equally, though he has not won a Super Bowl yet. I think, and I hope, that he does at some point in the future. But he is regarded as being one of the best head coaches in the league. You look at the teams and specifically the quarterbacks, and you have what will be a Hall of Fame quarterback in Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City, who is beyond talented and is going to be in the top handful of quarterbacks to ever play the game, just has phenomenal physical and mental skills. And then you have for San Francisco, a young guy who was the last player drafted about 2 years ago named Brock Purdy, who has played really well. He took his team to the Super Bowl and came within a very small margin of actually winning it. He is not a high draft pick. He is not celebrated. He's what a lot of people would call somebody who manages the game, or he's a great quarterback in a great system. He is a function of the system. You have two great teams, two great coaches, two great organizations, one super great quarterback and one who's really good given the role. And you got a game that went into overtime where both teams scored, and obviously Kansas City won it in the end. But when we think about those two quarterbacks as if they were our associates, I want you to think about them as a function of the system. Arguably, Patrick Mahomes would be a great quarterback on any NFL team. Would he have won three Super Bowls in the last 4 or 5 years if he weren't drafted by Kansas City and if he didn't play for Andy Reid? I mean, maybe he would have won a Super Bowl or possibly even two, but I don't think he would have put up the run that he has under Andy Reid's leadership. So while Patrick Mahomes is justifiably great and will be in the Hall of Fame beyond a shadow of a doubt and probably is going to win more Super Bowls to come, he's matched with arguably the coach that can get the most out of him, that he syncs up with best from a capability standpoint. And the 1+1=3 equation holds very true for him. He's great, but he is phenomenal with Andy Reid as a head coach and the Kansas City organization behind him. When you look at Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the 49ers, and you ask the same questions, he is a great quarterback in terms of skill set, the ability to diagnose things at the line of scrimmage mentally. He's very sharp, doesn't have the physical tools of most of the quarterbacks, let alone of Patrick Mahomes, but functions at a high, high level in that San Francisco system under Kyle Shanahan. A lot of people would say that Brock Purdy's success is a product of the Kyle Shanahan offense, that if you took Brock Purdy out and you dropped him in almost any other team in the NFL, he arguably wouldn't be as good. And I would agree with that. I think it's also true to say that he's got some talent and some skill that's far above average, because there have been a number of quarterbacks to come through that Kyle Shanahan offense that haven't produced an appearance in the Super Bowl the way Brock Purdy did. So you got to give him some credit. He ain't average. He's above average, but he's nowhere in Mahomes' class. So why am I going through this Super Bowl reference and spending a little bit of time with it? And why the heck am I giving you my personal opinions around those two organizations, the coaching staffs, and everything else like that? I'm doing it because you and I watched the game and we saw it play out in front of us, and we can probably diagnose everything that I just did. I didn't play football growing up, so I know what it is. I like the sport. I follow it a decent amount, but I can't tell you the X's and the O's and things like that. But I can kind of understand contextually what I'm looking at, and I can think through it at multiple different levels. How many of you can do that with your business relative to your associates? What makes your associates great? Did you hire Patrick Mahomes as one of your associates who's going to be a crackerjack dentist, and no matter where he or she lands, they are going to put up ridiculous collection numbers, production and collection numbers? They're going to get along great with the staff. They're going to have case acceptance rates of 100%. they're going to do the most complicated dentistry easily and create phenomenal clinical outcomes? You know, are they just one of one? Or are your best associates a lot more like maybe a Brock Purdy? And they're really good clinical dentists, but you've got a really good team around them. Your scheduling coordinators, your treatment coordinators, assistant team that's behind their clinical team that's behind them, the mentor that you assign to them, the clinical development program that you have, the marketing program that yields more new patient counts and all of that kind of stuff. Have you really thought about your business from a competitive advantage standpoint in terms of what you do really well? And have you ever thought about your associates being a function of your system? I want to pause for effect for a couple of seconds, because I know I hit a button with a lot of you in the audience right now because you haven't thought about things that way. When we think about recruiting associates and we're trying to patch a hole and we're hoping and praying that somebody accepts our offer, and that we just live to fight another day, you're arguably not playing to your strengths if you've built a great business. Can you relate to them the number of new patients that you get every month and the average collections of somebody who's in first year, second year, third year associate status in your business, and the history and experience of the clinical team that supports them, and the doctor development program that you have, and the mentor you're going to assign to them, and all these other assets that you bring to the table that most of the competitor practices that he or she may be interviewing with do not have at their disposal? Or are you just trying to patch a need, make a job offer to somebody and hope that they show up in another week or something? Look, a lot of you are building great businesses and you don't know how great they are because you don't take the time to slow down to really figure out the impact of what makes your associates great. I'm sure they're really good clinical dentists and I'm sure they're good people, or else you wouldn't have hired them to begin with. But I'm also certain that you do a lot of things to make them successful and give them the stage to play on, and you're not promoting it at the point of recruiting. Here's what's doubly bad about that. You're not promoting it when you sit down and you talk with your associates on at least an annual basis, and you want to give them an attaboy about the fact that they grew their collections 18% last year, or they learned how to do implants or endo or something like that. You're not taking the time to say, attaboy, good job, you grew a lot last year, you made more money by it, you know, but, you know, there are a lot of things that we did to help support you. What can we do to help support you better? The reason that's important is because if you don't humbly brag about it and bring it to their awareness, they're probably not going to fully appreciate it. And if they ever think about leaving, you would like for them to think twice about the team they're leaving and yours versus the team they may be joining somewhere else. And if that team somewhere else is substandard, I would venture a guess, or maybe even make a bet, that they're not going to be better off financially or otherwise somewhere else. It is okay, it is beyond okay, it is advisable for you to understand what makes you great as a business and what makes your associates great in terms of the support structure that you have around them, the Brock Purdy's of the world. Because Brock Purdy, as a starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, is probably very good. But Brock Purdy, the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, my hometown team, probably looks a lot different. And I would venture a guess, probably be willing to bet it, that they're not going to the Super Bowl. So let's think about your associates and how you can reinforce that value for those that are with you, the good ones. And let's think about recruiting associates in terms of differentiating your business and how much better they're going to be part of your team versus making a choice to join another business out there that arguably doesn't have the support or the assets that you do, the competitive advantages that you do. And when I was with our client last week, and we were talking about his growing business and him needing to add quite a number of associates and several different specialties, even for that matter, and we were talking about track records of success and what makes them great and the competitive advantages. And a lot of it was what I just kind of rattled off to you sort of off the cuff. They're dialed in on that. He and his leadership team are. They understand recruiting and they recruit constantly because they're forecasting for growth in the business. And when I asked him, I said, hey, you know, when you find somebody you want and you really see that person as being a critical member of the team and they can be extremely successful, you know, what's the thing that you do to get them to say yes, to come join you? And they laughed and they said, we've got a bunch of first year, second year, third year W-2s that we've blacked out all the names and, you know, personal details, and we've shown the earnings of people in our business. Man, that's playing from a point of confidence. And when I hear that, I know that that's the type of business that is constantly moving forward. If you're hoping and praying, that's not what our client in Florida is doing. Yeah, I mean, they're hoping for better days for sure, but they've got a system and it works. What's your system? What's your closing mechanism to close a prospective associate on saying yes to come work for you? If you can do that, if you can lay it out with some degree of objectivity and certainly a dose of humility, that's going to create a lot of confidence in their mind and they're going to want to join your team. And I think that's incredibly important as all of us endeavor to build growing businesses. Like I say, this was also a stream of you know, thought and a couple of questions in and around our Catalyst group. So Catalyst is typically those that are, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 locations or early stage, you know, growing groups, and the people who are trying to minimize their risk as they really contemplate, is this the right strategy for them or not? A lot of you in the audience probably have, you know, 4 to 5 to 10 to 20 locations. But I would say the mindset that I'm sharing, whether you're in the Catalyst group with me or you're just a member of the audience who I may not even know, you know, this is something that is critically important to the success of everyone, because nobody who listens to this podcast is simply saying, I want to be a solo dentist in a solo location, and that's it. All of you are trying to build, to some degree or another, an aspect of an associate-driven type of a business. And I think that's prudent in today's world, but a lot of that success is based around the associate or associates that you have, and their success is based around the system and the business that you've built, and they're the beneficiary of it. It's the same thing when it comes to the NFL teams that we saw a week ago in the Super Bowl. Think about your business as it relates to the associates you have and the success you help them create. And then how do you want to tactfully reinforce that to the associates that you have on your team right now? And how can you tactfully present that to people that you would like to join your team? I hope this sinks in. I hope it resonates with a lot of you out there, because I think it's critically important. And when I was thinking back about the Super Bowl and our trip last week to Florida for the CareStack conference and a client visit, and couple it with some of the trains and trends and thoughts of the Catalyst group, this is one that's got a flashing red light for me. And I hope I made a little bit of sense today in sharing that with you. Probably something that you should all be thinking about as you turn into 2024 and looking to create more success even into 2025 and beyond. If you'd like to learn more about recruiting and doctor development. I also think for those who are building, you know, 5 to 50+ location groups, our Accelerate 2024 conference is open for registration. Seats are filling every day, I feel like, and we expect that conference to sell out. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk a lot about recruiting, both associates and C-suite. And we're going to have Dr. Vince Monticello talk about doctor development. And he is a genius when it comes to the business that he's built in Florida. He was not the client I was with last week, unfortunately, but I know Vince very well. And I admire him immensely based on the business that he has successfully built and scaled. And doctor development for that business is head and shoulders a competitive advantage for the perpetuation of it in the future. He does it arguably as good or better than anybody else we know. And he's going to be with us in Puerto Rico to share a lot of his genius with you. So for those who are looking to really think through the associate conundrum and how you recruit them, how you develop them, and how you retain them for the long haul, join us in Puerto Rico, and you're going to want to be taking notes when Dr. Vince Monticello speaks. He'll speak on several different topics over those 2 days. And for those who may have the same type of considerations around recruiting a C-suite, there'll be a component of that in Puerto Rico as well, amongst a lot of other topics. But these were a handful that were very timely relative to this episode. So April 24th through 26th, I didn't put this in my show notes today, but it's on our website. I think it's the 24th through 26th. It's a Wednesday through a Friday in lovely San Juan, Puerto Rico. It's the Accelerate 2024 conference, and I hope that many of you can join us down there. It's going to be a beautiful time of the year, obviously, some warm weather for all of us who are under snow in the Northeast. So hopefully you can join us. If you've got further questions or anything else relative to the podcast, you can always send me an email at perrin@polarishealthcarepartners.com. Thanks so much for being a listener and a subscriber. We'll see you on the next episode.